Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that ballroom. Remember how I joked with you about that a few weeks ago? Well, now it's actually a headline on the Drudge Report. Tear down that ballroom. As Democrats are now suggesting they will do that very thing if they return to power. Welcome back to the show. It is our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Yeah, no, this story from NBC News that I saw earlier today. And look, you know, it is really amazing how much attention this ballroom has gotten. I couldn't give a flying blank about adding a ballroom that we know that people need and that there's not enough space for in the White House. But everything's a crisis. I saw the comedian Andrew Schultz in his podcast. He said, it's like if there's going to be one thing you don't bust the guy's chops over, maybe it's you let the real estate developer who spent his career building things, build a ballroom that the White House could use. Like, find your outrage over something else, which we know Democrats do all the time. It's just they're an outrage machine. But according to this article, the ballroom he's building in its place could be gone not long after the first wave of guests sit down for dinner, depending on the outcome of the 2028 presidential race. If elected, a Democrat president would have plenty to worry about aside from White House decor. War and peace can easily fill up a day. But a new president may face considerable pressure from within the Democratic fold to do something about a massive new ballroom forever linked to Trump. Already, prominent Democrat officials are workshopping ideas for repurposing the space in favor of something that's decidedly un-Trump. If any of these come to fruition, the $300 million ballroom that Trump birthed could take on a function that he never intended. Should the ballroom be used as the presidential plan, as this president plans? No way, said Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland, who said he would consider a presidential bid if Democrats gain control of the House in the upcoming midterm elections. And to that I say, let Jamie run. Quote, this is a space that's owned by the people and that serves the people. So it should be used opposite of what Trump has in mind, which is for the American aristocracy and plutocracy to gather. Representative Ro Khanna of California, another Democrat viewed as a possible presidential candidate. Are these guys serious? Nobody knows who the hell they are. They're presidential candidates. Okay. Said the ballroom should be used in a way that celebrates and empowers forgotten Americans, as opposed to accommodating guests for glitzy state dinners. Don't act like Democrat presidents haven't hosted glitzy state dinners. Every president hosts glitzy state dinners. Give me a freaking break. Why don't you turn it into a homeless encampment? Why don't you turn the White House ballroom into a homeless encampment and bring in all the homeless from California, from your state of California? Let them all sleep there. It could be a gigantic shelter. Letting the 90,000 square foot structure remain a ballroom would only validate the means by which Trump built it. Demolishing the East Wing without forewarning and bankrolling the project with private donations. At least one Democratic lawmaker wants the ballroom to meet its demise. Representative Steve Cohen of Tennessee said, "I don't think it would be a bad idea to tear it down. It's this gigantic blob that's Donald Trump." Their Trump derangement is so bad that a ballroom would need to be torn down just so that they can't remember that Trump was ever there. Why not tear down the whole White House? Why not tear down the entire White House and start over? I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there. Throwing it out there. Trump has said the ballroom will enable successors to hold large events in a convenient indoor space as opposed to herding guests onto the South Lawn or under makeshift tents. For 150 years, presidents have wanted just this kind of solution. I hope it remains a ballroom, and I hope that it's tastefully and beautifully done so that future presidents would be proud to host honored guests there, said Anita McBride, a member of the White House Historical Society. And she was former chief of staff to First Lady Laura Bush. But what I mostly hope is that the new building includes offices for the office of the First Lady. Those offices serve the presidency in a unique and special way, welcoming all visitors to the People's House. I love how it's the People's House and you can't even get in unless you get tickets through your member of Congress, wait like 9 months, go through 87 security checks. I mean, good luck with that. The People's House is the president's house, to be honest. And then, of course, we used to say Congress, the Capitol was the People's House until January 6th. And then we suddenly decided it was a private building that the public can't enter. So past presidents have also faced backlash for transforming the White House. Harry Truman was ridiculed for putting up a balcony that overlooks the South Lawn. A newspaper cartoon in 1948 depicted Truman standing on the balcony named for him and shouting, "Love me, love my balcony." Well, they should tear that down, too. I say burn it all down just like the British did. Just start fresh. But no president has undertaken any exterior renovation on the ballroom scale, nor have many presidents proved as polarizing as Trump, NBC News says. That makes the ballroom an inviting target for Democratic candidates and office holders alike. There's little downside. A Washington Post Ipsos poll of adults last month showed that 88% of Democrats and 61% of independents opposed the ballroom project. California Governor Gavin Newsom's slick, oily hair said the following. It's a metaphor for this administration. The recklessness to which he goes about things. The fact that he doesn't believe in rules. He doesn't believe they apply to him. So, you know, he's a wrecking ball presidency. Oh, snap. Inertia is a potent force in life and in politics. A Democratic president with a mountain of promises to fulfill might conclude the easiest answer is to leave the ballroom alone rather than spend time and money mothballing it. You think? You know exactly what's going to happen if a Democrat wins in 2028, God help us. They will be using the ballroom. And they'll make a big spectacle out of how they're going to name it something else and scrub every mention of Donald Trump from it. But you know they're going to use it. One Democrat candidate for Congress, whose name I'm going to botch here, Sakat Chakrabarty, suggested turning the ballroom into a Smithsonian-run museum. If elected, he said he'll introduce a bill aimed at converting the ballroom into a museum focused on corruption and autocracy. The space would list the private companies that donated to the ballroom. And this guy's running, by the way, to replace Pelosi. So, you know, you got to go super left on this kind of nuttiness to really put into the sunlight how this thing even came to be. By the way, major corporations that have contributed to Trump's ballroom project include Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, and Comcast. Yeah, so those are companies the left all loves, by the way. But no, if the left wants to go far, they should boycott iPhones, not go see Wicked, since that's a Comcast movie, give up using Microsoft, give up technology, and certainly not buy anything on Amazon for Black Friday, which has already begun. Oh, no, Black Friday deals are well underway on Amazon.com with an extended return period, I believe, of February 1st. On the campaign trail, Democratic candidates figure to propose creative alternatives for the ballroom. Jamie Raskin envisions a hybrid structure that could also accommodate some dinner guests, but would also showcase exhibits that devoted to America's struggle to achieve full-fledged democracy. One side of the space would display the various attempts to undermine and thwart popular democracy in early life, starting with King George III during the Revolutionary War era, and ending with Trump's attempts to overturn the results of the 2020 election, Raskin said. I think they should just make the entire ballroom a museum to the high holy day of the left, January 6th, the left's favorite holiday. That's the entire thing. Just make it the January 6th ballroom and just have images and pictures of that day and just end it with that. That's what you do. He said he would name the space the Democracy Matters Ballroom. Ro Khanna said the ballroom's future should be decided by a way of vox populi. We need a White House that is not for the tech billionaires, but for forgotten Americans. In that spirit, we should ask Americans in rural communities, urban centers, and hollowed out factory towns for their ideas of what to do with the space. This is a freaking ballroom these people are obsessed with and spending so much time on. Then again, a Republican successor to Trump may be more apt to keep the ballroom, interpreting victory as a vindication of Trump's policies and priorities, or realize that the ballroom will have absolutely nothing to blanking do with the 2028 election. Then again, Trump's tastes aren't for everyone. He likes gold. He's partial to grand formal spaces. A GOP president with a different aesthetic might not be quite as besotted with a ballroom nearly twice the size of the White House proper. Can you believe they've dedicated an entire NBC News article to this? And it's not over yet. Still going. The White House is a residence that symbolizes American democracy, said Edward Lengel, former chief historian for the White House Historical Association. The ballroom makes the White House resemble something else. A palace. And there it is. A palace. Because he's a king. He's a king, you understand. The amount of time spent on this friggin' ballroom by the left, although I agree with Bill Maher when he said, I don't give a blank. I think it's just typical of how Democrats have to find a way to oppose everything Trump does. I mean, we joke about it. If he cured cancer, they'd be pro-cancer. But it's really like, I mean, I guarantee you this. If Gavin Newsom's slick, oily hair winds up in the White House, he will be using that ballroom all the freaking time. And why not? It's paid for by a lot of the people who are in California, in Silicon Valley, a lot of the tech companies that Gavin the Hair Newsom loves. So why wouldn't he? He'd use it all the time. And these idiots who talk about tearing it down, do you honestly think if you ran on that platform, you'd win any support over? I mean, you're running around the country talking about using taxpayer dollars or raising private funds to tear down a ballroom that was built with private funds. I mean, if you can't think that the American people would hope to God you would have better priorities than that, then, well, that's why you have zero chance of winning the presidency, like Ro Khanna and Jamie Raskin. If Democrats regain the White House, tear down this ballroom. I absolutely love it. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, Vanaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is the man, and he'll give you the beautiful smile you deserve. All right, coming up, the president says it is time to release the Epstein files. We talked about that earlier on the show today, but in case you're just joining us, that's what he said. He's also talking this hour on affordability, so we'll get into that with you as well. But yeah, release the Epstein files. What did the president say about it, and where do we go from here? We'll talk about it straight ahead.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's the Oli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Release the Epstein files. That's what the president says. Release the Epstein files. I don't give a blank. Just do it. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. It is our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT as we continue in what's going to be a busy week around affordability. The president speaking about that this hour as well, and we will certainly be all over that as we continue. I think the key thing on the affordability is, I've long said this, so, you know, consistency matters for me no matter who the president is, whether it's my guy or somebody else. You can't fake affordability. You know, you can spin your way out of a lot of things. You can't fake affordability. Prices are still very high at the grocery store. I know because I do the shopping. And I had to run to the store yesterday. We had a great Sunday family dinner. You know, in my house, family dinners are very, very important. And my daughter Claire yesterday made meatballs, and she formed them so perfectly, rolled them and formed them so perfectly. I was so proud of her. Reagan was on salad duty, and then Patrick just ate it all. But it was a fun family dinner. But I had to run to Wegmans, and I had to get some things. And I pay attention to this stuff because obviously as a talk show host, I have to pay attention to this stuff. Now, some tariffs are going to be rolled back on everyday household goods. And that's good because they're driving up prices. Again, you know, you can spin a lot of things. You cannot spin what somebody spends at the grocery store. They feel that uniquely. There's something about that they really feel because it's so immediate. You pay, you get your receipt, you look at your receipt and you go, oh my God. And trying to say that everything is great, it will only make people mad. It will only make people mad. What you're seeing with the rise of these socialist kook lunatics in a lot of these different places across America right now is a response to the affordability issue, where you have people that are saying, well, they're offering us hope. And it's not going to work. And the problem is that we have not done a great job of educating people that socialism does not solve affordability. It makes things worse. It makes things more expensive, and it leads to less competition in the private sector, which then drives up the cost of things. It's not an answer. But we have not done a good enough job of teaching that because we have commies who are teaching our kids and they love socialism. And so they don't want them to think it's bad. They also don't want them to learn the horrors of socialism. This has been a theme we've talked a lot about on the show, you know, with Dr. Wilfred Riley. And it's my belief that we have done, purposely they've done, a terrible job of teaching people the horrors of communism because they don't want people to think communism is bad. So you hear a lot about the horrors of other things, but you don't hear about Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot and all these other people and Che Guevara. And so, and then when you do, you find out that it'll just be a situation where they go, well, it hasn't been tried enough. It hasn't been tried right. It just hasn't been tried the right way. And that's all it is. And if you just give it a little bit more time, then it will work. Now, it doesn't work. But you have people believing that, and they're voting for socialists across the country. So what you have to do then is you have to address the problem head on. And that's why the president is speaking this hour on the issue of affordability.
We are correcting it. We have strong borders now. We have a great economy. The prices are coming down. The Democrats like to use the word affordability, but their affordability was terrible. The problem with the Democrats, they lie. They do it so well. They talk about affordability. But I'm the one that's getting the prices down. As an example, they had the highest inflation in the history of our country. I have it down now to a normal level, and it's going down further. Thank you very much, everyone. We are correcting it.
Now, as far as the Epstein files go, the president had a couple comments on that. I do want to play you a clip from, I guess it was Smirkanish's Saturday show on CNN. He had this author, Barry Levine, who told him what he thinks Epstein meant in the 2011 email about Trump. And like I've said, there's nothing. I've been saying consistently again, because I'm consistent, release the Epstein files. I don't believe there's anything in there that implicates President Trump. Release the Epstein files. So I'm glad that he's now saying release the Epstein files. I think it was a bad look to argue it was a hoax, to not release the files. I think it was a bad look, and you had to do it. And so I'm glad he's doing it. Republicans are going to move forward with it regardless, because the vote will outlive the president. It's going to be something that will follow them, and the American people want transparency. And yes, as I've also highlighted on the show, I think it's ridiculous that Democrats have never called for this before when they were in charge of the DOJ. But we did say during the election that we would release the Epstein files. We would have the transparency and all this. The truth would come out. So we have to do that. And I'm glad the president is now saying that. So let me read you what he said on Truth Social. He said the following. He said, release the Epstein files, all caps. Republicans should vote to release the Epstein files because we have nothing to hide. And it's time to move on from this Democrat hoax perpetrated by radical left lunatics in order to deflect from the great success of the Republican Party, including our recent victory on the Democrat shutdown. The Department of Justice has already turned over tens of thousands of pages to the public on Epstein. And they're looking at various Democrat operatives, Bill Clinton, Reid Hoffman, Larry Summers, etc., and their relationship to Epstein. And the House Oversight Committee can have whatever they are legally entitled to. I don't care, all caps. All I do care about is that Republicans get back on point, which is the economy, affordability, where we are winning big. Our victory on reducing inflation from the highest level in history to practically nothing, bringing down prices for the American people, delivering historic tax cuts, gaining trillions of dollars of investment into America, a record, the rebuilding of our military, securing our border, deporting criminal illegal aliens, ending men and women's sports, stopping transgender for everyone, and so much more. Nobody cared about Jeffrey Epstein when he was alive, and if the Democrats said anything, they would have released it before our landslide election victory. Some members, in quotes, of the Republican Party are being used, and we can't let that happen. Let's start talking about the Republican Party's record-setting achievements and not fall into the Epstein trap, which is actually a curse on the Democrats, not us. Make America great again. So this is what that author said to Smirkanish on CNN Saturday morning.
On that 2011 email, we'll put it up on the screen, and I will ask you, the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. What do you think he's referring to?
Well, I think Jeffrey Epstein is referring to the fact that he believes that Donald Trump talked to Michael Ryder, who was the Palm Beach police chief in 2004, and began the first investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. I suspect that Jeffrey Epstein, in his conversation or email with Maxwell, was saying he was 75% there, believing that Trump might have been the whistleblower at the time. Again, you have to remember that particular year, the two men had a falling out, not only over the fact that Ghislaine Maxwell was taking young women from his spot, Mar-a-Lago, for Jeffrey Epstein, but they also had a nasty real estate deal that both men were trying to get. So there was bad blood between the two of them.
Okay, so it's a combination then of the Trump being the dog who didn't bark and that additional line on that email. We'll put it back on the screen. Police chief, et cetera, I'm 75% there, meaning he's 75% there to believing that Trump is an informant against him?
That is what I believe based on my research of years of the Jeffrey Epstein story.
Okay, but
you also have
but
to
Barry,
remember that
Barry,
the House Speaker at one point.
Barry, if Donald Trump were an informant, if Donald Trump dropped the dime on Jeffrey Epstein, why wouldn't he today in this climate be shouting it from the mountaintops? I'm the one who put him away.
That's a question that only the president can answer. And again, the Palm Beach police have never said.
I'll throw out a hypothesis on that, because talk about 4D chess, right? I mean, I hate to use that cliche. I really do. I hate it. It pains me to say it because it's used so often. But if after all of this, it comes out that Trump is a whistleblower who basically got Jeffrey Epstein locked up, man, is that a game of chess right there? Because right now the Democrats keep acting like Trump is guilty. He did something and something's going to come out on Trump. And then if that were to come out, it'd be, whoa, man, right? Again, just hypothetical. I don't know. I have no idea. I have zero idea if that's true. And I'm just giving you an option to think about. So, but in the spirit of how Trump tends to do things, it would not be at all surprising if that was, in fact, the case. All right. Keep going with this, please.
That Donald Trump was an informant. However, not too long ago, the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, said that Donald Trump was an informant on this particular case. So it is rather confusing.
I just wouldn't doubt it. This is what the president said regarding Epstein on Air Force One.
President Massey says he's concerned that the Epstein probe you are calling for could be a smokescreen to block the release of more files. Is that the case?
Well, I don't want to talk about it because fake news like you, you're a terrible reporter, and fake news like you, they just keep bringing that up to deflect from the tremendous success of the Trump administration. So a guy like Massey, his poll numbers are showing he's at 6% approval rating right now. And we call him Rand Paul Jr. because he never votes for the Republican Party. So they're using Jeffrey Epstein as a deflection from the tremendous success that we're having as a party. I talk to anybody. I talk to you, right? I talk to anybody. We'll see what happens.
Green says her life could be in danger because of the rhetoric.
Her life is in danger. Who's that?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I don't think her life is in danger. I don't think anybody cares about her. Okay, what about
now? This battle between the president and Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's been on CNN a lot, and she's kind of found a new home there. And she even said some of the effect of "I'm sorry for taking part in the toxic politics." I don't really know what that means. But anyway, this is what she said regarding Epstein. It's a question that I've been asking, too, which is who was really paying the guy.
OK, so on that, I do want to ask you about something you posted just yesterday on X. You questioned who and what country is putting so much pressure on Trump to keep the Epstein files hidden. And you included a picture about donations from pro-Israel lobbying group APAC. What are you trying to say there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's the question that many Americans are asking, especially when we saw information recently come out in these emails that the Oversight Committee that I serve on has released. And we saw Jeffrey Epstein with ties to Ehud Barak. We saw him making business deals with them, also business deals that involved the Israeli government, and seems to have led into their intel agencies. And I think the right question is to ask is, was Jeffrey Epstein working for Israel? And I'm proud to say I don't take money from AIPAC. I don't take money from any special group of people. I'm just representing my district and the American people. And so that's what I was referring to.
I just want to be clear. Are you saying Israel is pushing the president of the United States to cover up the Epstein files? And what evidence do you have that that is
no,
the case?
I simply just asked out loud, is there a foreign government? And it could be any foreign government, but is a foreign government pushing to keep this covered up? Because people just don't understand the big fight against.
Well, you had AIPAC up there. It was pretty clear which government you were talking about.
That I'm questioning that government in particular and questioning any other foreign government.
Okay, when you're talking about lowering the rhetoric,
look,
which is
this is the point about Epstein and whether or not he was a spy and whether or not he was a national security. You know, I mean, this is going all the way back to the time that he was first investigated in Florida. You know, the very first time of whether or not he was investigated in Florida, and the guy who was the U.S. attorney at the time who said that he was a national security asset. And so I think that it's very obvious that he was involved in intelligence. There's no doubt about that in my mind. I'm glad the president is now saying, let's release the files. I think it was a mistake to even appear like you were against releasing the files. There's nothing in there that's going to tie it to Trump. And the only way I know that is just from being involved in politics my entire career. If there was anything, I mean anything they could have used, they would have used it. And they had several opportunities to use it. Like I said, I could see if they didn't use it in 2016. No doubt about that, because Hillary Clinton was running. And I do think that there's a lot on Bill Clinton that's about to come out. So you may not have wanted to use it then. But 2020, for sure, and certainly in this past election in 2024, absolutely. So the hypocrisy of the Democrats being obsessed with this now, it is absolutely infuriating, no doubt about that. But at the same time, you know that there's nothing that's going to come out regarding the president. So this is just the right move and the right strategy. All right, more to come as we wrap up our fourth and final hour and throw it over to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of network busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Thomas Crooks, the assassin in Butler, Pennsylvania. What do we know about him? What have we found? An explosive piece by Miranda Devine. How the FBI, the Secret Service, butchered the Thomas Crooks case and invited conspiracies. We deserve the truth. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. This piece published this morning by Miranda Devine. And, you know, she goes on to say, we're all owed a better explanation from the FBI and the Secret Service about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump 16 months ago at a campaign rally in Butler, PA. The president himself remains unsatisfied with the answers he's been given about the circumstances leading to 20-year-old Thomas Crooks climbing on a rooftop with an AR-15-style rifle and firing 8 times at Trump, narrowly missing his head but hitting his ear. Crooks was shot dead by a Secret Service sniper, but not before he killed rally-goer Corey Compatore, seriously wounded David Dutch, and James Copenhaver, who were sitting in the bleachers behind the president. There is something very wrong with the official story, and that invites conspiracy theories. The president demanded answers months ago. A man was murdered. What is going on? Miranda Devine asks. Then FBI Director Chris Wray told Congress after the July 13, 2024 attack that the Bureau had found nothing in Crooks' online history that pointed to a motive or political ideology. A week later, Ray's deputy Paul Abati told Congress that comments posted on one of Crooks' social media accounts appear to reflect anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes to espouse political violence that are described as extreme in nature. Now, she has a source who uncovered Crooks' hidden digital footprint, and she says, we can see that the FBI guy, Abate, misled Congress by omission because he left out an entire section of Crooks' online interactions from January to August 2020 when he did an ideological backflip and went from rabidly pro-Trump to rabidly anti-Trump and then went dark, seeming to never post again. Among the 17 accounts uncovered by Miranda Devine's source were ones on YouTube, Snapchat, Venmo, Zelle, GroupMe, Discord, Google Play, Quizlet, Chess.com, and Quora. Chess.com. The online interactions from when Crooks was ages 15 to 17 give us a better understanding of his evolution into this would-be assassin and invite more questions about what or who reverses ideology. The danger that Crooks posed was visible for years in public online spaces. His radicalization, violent rhetoric, and obsession with political violence were all documented under his real name. The threat was not hidden. The official narrative, she writes, claimed he acted alone and without a clear motive, ideology, or digital footprint. Yet the source found reams of information that show Crooks was, quote, not simply some unknowable lone actor. He left a digital trail of violent threats, extremist ideology, and admiration for mass violence. He spoke openly of political assassination, posted under his real name, and was even flagged by other users who mentioned law enforcement in their replies. Despite this, his account remained active for more than 5 years and was only removed the day after the shooting. None of this online activity was referenced in the final congressional report released in December of 2024, making this even more troubling. Starting with Crooks' phone number, the source used tools available to private investigators and web archives to uncover the assassin's very visible online persona. Crook's most prolific activity was on YouTube with 737 public comments. The account, Tom Crooks 2178, visible to other users as Tom Crooks, was created on January 14, 2019, and was suspended on July 14, 2024, the day after the Butler shooting, for violating YouTube's policy on violent criminal organizations. He did a political 180. Miranda Devine writing in the New York Post, Crook's trajectory from pro to anti-Trump is evident. He referred to Trump as the literal definition of patriotism in a comment on July 20th, 2019, 1:17 a.m. He also issued several targeted threats against the Democratic congressional representatives in the squad, saying, quote, I hope a quick, painful death to all the deplorable immigrants and anti-Trump congresswomen who don't deserve anything this country has given them. He wrote that 8:18 a.m. on July 20th, 2019. Murder the Democrats, he wrote in all caps on December 12th, 2019. But in early 2020, Crook's online behavior flipped 180 degrees. He became very critical of Trump, Fox News, and Republican complaints about mail-in voting. The first time he criticized President Trump was on January 23rd, 2020, when he commented on a video of law professor Jonathan Turley talking about Trump's first impeachment. And this is what Crooks wrote, quote, keep in mind the only reason we may know about any of this is because of Trump's stupidity. He started describing Trump's supporters as a cult, writing, quote, how can you people call others sheep, but you are too brainwashed to realize how dumb you are. I mean, literally, you guys sound like a cult at all times. He wrote that on February 26, 2020. The same day, he described Trump as racist. By April of 2020, Thomas Crooks was constantly criticizing Trump's pandemic response, saying he was too slow and everything he's doing now should have been done. Through the summer of 2020, Crooks' online rhetoric became increasingly radical and violent. On August 5th, 2020, Crooks wrote, quote, IMO, which is in my opinion, IMO, the only way to fight the government is with terrorism-style attacks. Sneak a bomb into an essential building and set it off before anyone sees you. Track down any important people, politicians, military leaders, etc., and try to assassinate them. Any sort of head-to-head fight is suicide, and even ambush-slash-surprise attacks likely aren't going to end well. A large portion of the war will also be propaganda and information wars. Both sides will want people to join them, and a big deciding factor in wars is often which side has more popular support for them. Among the 17 accounts uncovered by Miranda Devine's source, only one, on PayPal, was operated under an alias, Rod Swanson. Rod Swanson is a former senior FBI agent who was the chief of investigations for the state of Nevada during the 2017 Las Vegas mass shooting. Another shooting we know nothing about, by the way. This guy also previously served on FBI Director Robert Mueller's protective detail and as a firearms instructor in Pennsylvania. Contacted by phone over the weekend, Swanson said he was surprised his name was connected to Crooks. I don't know anything about that kid or his family. I don't even use PayPal. I don't even know how to set up a PayPal account. He said he retired from the FBI in Vegas in 2016 and went to work for the Nevada Attorney General from September 2015 to March 2020. He now works in the oil and gas business in Houston. Now, Crooks was also a furry. All right, so this is sick fetish stuff. He also used they, them pronouns. I mean, assuming all this is true, obviously. When told the Crooks online threats, he said there is no way the FBI would not be aware of the teenager. No matter how ridiculous the allegation, no matter if it's COVID or not, somebody is going to knock on somebody's door. If they investigated that kid, there's a record of it. And there's an assessment that some leader made that he was not a threat, that rose to a level, and they did nothing else. He also said the FBI would have had information about his name on the PayPal account. I can't even imagine how they would not have reached out to me right away. Given Crook's pattern of tracking high-profile mass shootings and violent events, the source believes it is plausible that he adopted Swanson's name as a private joke. like alleged Charlie Kirk assassin Tyler Robinson, Crooks appears to have been interested in furries and exploring gender ideology. He described himself with the pronouns they, them on the platform DeviantArt, which is one of the biggest online hubs for furry and the furry community. A furry is someone who has an interest in anthropomorphized animal characters, often as a sexual fetish. Two accounts linked to Crook's primary email were found on DeviantArt under usernames Epic Microwave and The Epic Microwave. The account suggests he had an obsession with scantily clad cartoon characters sporting muscle-bound male bodies and female heads. And he was pals with neo-Nazis. One of the people Crooks interacted with was Willy Tepes, a member of the Norwegian neo-Nazi group, the Nordic Resistance Movement, which has since been designated a terrorist organization by the State Department. Tepes encouraged violence and Crooks extremism using a Maoist phrase, quote, political power comes from the barrel of a gun. Crooks repeated that Maoist phrase several times. In one comment on October 5th, 2025, more than a year after Butler, he commented to another user that he had been contacted by both Russian and American intelligence. People who ask you to contact them when they just as easily could contact you are feds. This is how they avoid entrapment. Both American and Russian intelligence does this. I have chatted to both. Shortly after the interactions with this neo-Nazi guy, Crooks disappeared online. Did he brush with the Norwegian and his own did his brush with the Norwegian and his own violent rhetoric win him a visit from the FBI or the Secret Service? If not, why not? She asks. If so, why has it not been disclosed? The FBI refused to comment when asked on Sunday whether Crooks was ever investigated, visited with, or in some way brought to the attention of the agency before he tried to assassinate Trump, or whether there was an FBI file on Crooks before Butler. The FBI also refused to comment on why it had not been more forthcoming on congressional oversight requests. Ray told Congress on July 24th, 2024, 11 days after the shooting, that the Bureau, quote, did not have any prior information about the shooter and that he was not in our holdings before the shooting. He said the FBI ran a search for Crooks through its database and he was not found. Susan Crabtree, friend of the show, investigative reporter for Real Clear Politics, who has broken multiple stories about the failures of Butler, says her key Secret Service source from the 2020 time period told me that Crooks was not a person of record at the United States Secret Service in 2020 and wasn't known to the United States Secret Service until Butler. Something doesn't add up, Miranda Devine points out, and saying that Ray had been heavily criticized after the Parkland school shooting because the FBI failed to act after being repeatedly warned about the shooter, Nicholas Cruz, that he had guns, had threatened people, exhibited erratic behavior, and might carry out a school shooting. Was Ray trying to avoid being blamed for another atrocity on his watch? Is that why he downplayed Trump's injury when he testified to Congress a week after Butler and falsely suggested the now president had not been struck by a bullet but by shrapnel from the podium? If the Secret Service had become aware of Crooks' anti-Trump rhetoric in 2020 during Trump's presidency, protocols that would have determined he was a threat and offloaded to the FBI to take over the investigation. We don't know what happened because the Secret Service after action report is classified. The only bodies that could look at it are the intelligence committees in Congress, which so far have shown little curiosity. A criminal investigation of a presidential assassination or attempted assassination falls under the jurisdiction of the FBI. Therefore, any comments on the subject matter would come from the Bureau. Requests for information from the FBI by Senator Ron Johnson have been rebuffed, including under Director Kash Patel. Johnson had to issue a subpoena in July on the first anniversary of the Butler attack and complained that he had been stonewalled by the FBI and the Secret Service in his efforts to request security camera footage, forensic reports, and other documents related to the Thomas Crooks case. Trump and those close to him are skeptical about the official story and question how the impoverished parents of Crooks, who had to ask for money from neighbors to pay for their son's funeral, could afford to hire a white shoe law firm, Quinn Loge, out of Pittsburgh. It is hard to believe the FBI and the Secret Service missed Crooks. The question is, what did they do about him? And here is the FBI Deputy Director Andrew Abate saying this before Congress, which is now making many people believe that it was a lie by omission. Take a listen.
The investigative team continues to review information from legal returns, including online and social media accounts. Something just very recently uncovered that I want to share is a social media account which is believed to be associated with the shooter in about the 2019-2020 timeframe. There were over 700 comments posted from this account. Some of these comments, if ultimately attributable to the shooter, appear to reflect anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes, to espouse political violence, and are described as extreme in nature. While the investigative team is still working to verify this account to determine if it did in fact belong to the shooter, we believe it important to share and note it today, particularly given the general absence of other information to date from social media and other sources of information that reflect on the shooter's potential motive and mindset. These are the facts in part.
But they did have a lot of social media things about the shooter's mindset. Have a great rest of your night. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. Just programming note, I will be in for Jimmy on Wednesday and back with you tomorrow. Have a great night. Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.